Hi, I'm Dr. Jeff Glad, Chief Medical Officer of Fullscript, the leading healthcare platform for providers to prescribe healthcare's best supplements, drive better patient outcomes, and scale practice growth with unparalleled efficiency. As a healthcare provider, I know that finding time to stay up to date on the latest trends and research in modern medicine can be a daunting task. That's why I'm excited to share a cutting-edge supplement course our team of medical experts worked on in collaboration with A4M and several industry experts, designed to help you navigate supplements and make more informed clinical decisions. Throughout the 16 hours of content, we'll give you the clinical context you'll need to confidently recommend supplements to your patients. The A4M Supplement Certification Course is the perfect starting point or clinical update for optimizing your supplement treatment plans to ensure the best possible outcomes for your patients. Go to www.a4m.com/supplement-certification-course.html and use the promo code podcast20 at checkout to get a 20% discount. Enroll today and elevate your whole person care.
Welcome to Redefining Medicine, an intimate and personalized program that illustrates a different side of the practice of medicine. Our in-depth conversations will focus on the physicians and practitioners who are redefining medicine through their integrative, functional, and holistic approach to health and well-being. Our host for Redefining Medicine is Dr. Erica Schwartz. For more than 20 years, Dr. Erica has been at the forefront of advanced patient care, taking the best from conventional and integrative medicine and applying them to prevent disease. Dr. Erica is a distinguished A4M faculty member in disciplines ranging from hormone therapy, peptide therapy, and IV nutritional support.
We're at the Spring Congress in Palm Beach, 2024, Redefining Medicine, and it's an amazing Congress. It's about metabolic changes. It's about expanding our thinking. It's got a few tracks that will help you as a physician or as a provider to really help your patient and look at the patient as a whole. Everybody's actually getting it. It's about the whole patient. And in order to help us figure this out, we have Dr. Houseman Cohen with us. Thank you so much. And we need you to explain to us what you're doing and how you're changing medicine.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. So my field of research and interest is genomics. And genomics is a little different than genetics because a genetic disease is something that you can inherit, like cystic fibrosis or sickle cell, where you get a gene from mom and a gene from dad, and you then have the disease. But chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, all the things we're talking about here, as well as things like cognitive decline, they're not genetic, they're genomic. They're little changes, so single letter changes or very small changes in the DNA that don't create a disease-causing event but contribute. And so what I'm here this weekend speaking about is some of the genomics relating to diabetes and how it can differ by each individual, and also how when you understand someone's genomics, you can then address it in a very specific manner.
So give us more information about how can you determine somebody's genomics and what do you do next?
So in order to determine genomics, you do a cheek swab. You can do blood, but I'm the medical director of a company called Intellix DNA, and we use cheek swabs because we also, in addition to doing adult medicine, do pediatric medicine and autism and such, so cheek swab's a lot easier, but it's easier for everyone.
And gives you the same information.
Right, and you then the DNA, there's a specific design of what gene variants we're looking for, and in the report, we then help the clinician understand what are these components. So, for example, I'm going to start with heart disease because it's easier to understand than diabetes, and then we can can talk about that.
By all means.
Because everybody thinks of heart disease as, oh, it's high cholesterol is a big contributing factor. Yeah. And, yeah, and we shake our heads like that's a little teeny piece of it. But there's also inflammation. There's microclotting. There's nutrient factors. Even your ability to make glutathione or resolve kinds of inflammation all contribute. And so all of those different components have genetic variants that correlate with what are called different odds ratios, which means maybe one of them might give you twice the risk, one of them might give you four times the risk, one might give a 40% increase. And so then for different etiologies or contributing factors, there's different ways of addressing it. If you have microclotting, aspirin might be good for that small percentage of the population. If you have more calcium buildup, vitamin K2 helps that. If you have more inflammation, there's lots of different natural anti-inflammatories, everything from sulforaphane to omega-3s that can help. So it kind of goes on and on and on. And then if you have high cholesterol, then obviously addressing cholesterol can help, because the gene that creates the high cholesterol creates the small dense particles, and that's actually the reason it becomes more atherogenic.
Right. So now let's break it down a little further. Who is the patient that I, as a clinician, send to you? What are the criteria that would make me think, oh, we're going to send that patient in for genomic testing?
Well, it's actually the clinicians or the physicians. They order it, and they're going to do the interpreting, but they would send the cheek swab to the
lab. Right, I'm a clinician.
Yeah.
Right.
You know. They don't send the patient
what
to
would make me
order think, on a patient.
Right, exactly. That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's like, what does make me, the provider, think, oh.
Because your DNA doesn't change, mm-hmm. I actually think it's useful information for everybody to have, because you can kind of get a roadmap to you, and it really helps give you that functional roadmap of who needs what particular vitamins, who has problems with more detox, and even within detox, is it that you have problems removing pesticides, or is it mercury, or is it other compounds, benzenes and all kinds of other things, glyphosates? Everybody has inflammation, but there's a ton of different kinds of inflammation, and just like if you were to say, this patient in room 2 has an infection. Can you please tell me what you want to treat it with? We would need more information. We would have to know what kind of infection. Is it a parasite? Is it a bacteria, a virus? And then we would be able to be, even within that, we'd want to know what kind of bacteria. Then we would be able to treat. Well, the same thing's true with genomics. Everyone has inflammation, but some people are more prone to TNF-alpha inflammation. Some people are more prone to interleukin-1 alpha, and on and on and on. Mast cell, lots of kinds. So I believe that everybody has something in their family history,
sure.
And everybody wants to live optimally. That's what we're all here about, is helping people optimize their health.
Trying to teach them.
So, And so I offer it to all my patients in my private practice, and I would say 95% of them do their genomics, and I've never had somebody say, gosh, I wish I hadn't done that, because it just lets them get to know themselves so much better.
Let me understand better. Okay. So as a conventionally trained physician, as we all are, we ask, we're trained to do blood testing. How is the genomic testing that you're referring to, that you're doing, going to help me better, and how does it work to complement each other?
That's a great question, Erica, because it really is, because the beauty of genomics is you can get information about systems in the body that you can't get with blood. So DNA has what's called, and I know this is a lot of science, but I think that
we have educated listeners.
This
is all for providers. So
yeah.
No,
so,
but I think it's important, yeah.
I agree. But yeah. DNA has differential tissue expression, meaning we only have like 28,000 genes, but each gene does different things, multiple things, like the vitamin D receptor interacts with 100 other genes.
Right.
But you might have some genes that are only expressed in the brain or only expressed in the gut or the heart. So when we're doing blood tests, we can only get that information regarding genes that are expressed in the blood or nutrients that are carried in the blood. But for example, B12. You can have normal B12 levels in your blood,
sure.
And have low B12 levels in your brain.
Of course.
Because there's a carrier called TCN2 mm-hmm. that you need to order to transport B12 to the brain. So you can also have endocannabinoid receptors, and kind of the endocannabinoids are more or less popular depending on what state you're in.
Right.
But they're involved in brain inflammation and mm-hmm. microglial inflammation and gut and impulsivity and even depression. well, you can't get any information about endocannabinoid receptors from the blood because they're not expressed in the blood. So I think that genomics is really an amazing tool when you're talking about brain science. So I started out as a brain science researcher before I became a physician, and that was a big, strong interest of mine. And it's also really great for things like osteoporosis and kidney disease and even hormone receptors. You can get hormone levels in the blood, but you can't understand who has a more inflammatory type of hormone receptor, who has, you know, who has less ability to make different transporters that, you know, affect the mitochondria. All of those things you need genomics for.
Right. No, it sounds amazing, and it sounds really interesting because we were talking yesterday. I was giving a talk, and it's a new group that's learning about BHRT, and it's a wonderful group, and I recommend very highly that people join it. That we were talking about how we're all trained to do blood tests, right? And the blood tests really are what we were doing in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And those blood tests don't really help us. I mean, you spend half the time saying, well, your liver's fine, your kidneys are fine, your electrolytes are fine. Okay, the inflammatory marker is a different story. In my case, I mean, the hormones are not okay. But I think that a lot of what we're doing in the blood testing is really not the correct thing to do nowadays.
Right. It's 30-year-old medicine at least, if not 40 or 50-year-old.
I think you're being generous.
Yeah, I was saying it's not 40 or 50-year-old medicine.
I think so.
And, right. And so hormones, I think, are a really interesting topic to our listeners because mm-hmm. it's so important for the anti-aging world. And at the last AA4M, I talked about what's called the estrogen receptor paradox, that there are some specific gene variants in the estrogen receptors that make people have more pro-estrogen effects, fibroids, endometriosis, when they're young. But those are the same people that have the highest risk of cognitive decline and brain fog if they don't have estrogen when they're postmenopausal, because it's the estrogen it's a combination between estrogen receptor alphas and betas. When they have an estrogen receptor beta variant that is underactive, its job is to modulate the other one. So premenopausally, they can't modulate the proestrogen effects. And postmenopausally, they can't turn off inflammation. And in the absence of estrogen, the estrogen receptors turn on an inflammatory cascade. Right. So we can learn so much more by taking it down to a DNA level. So it's kind of like if on a map, years ago, you could on a map go, oh, this person lives on this street, and you could get MapQuest or whatever and have a vague idea. Now with satellite imaging, you can see what kind of windows they have and even like what brand of lock they have on their doors.
Right.
That's what we have to do with medicine. We have to say, let's get more specific for this individual, because then we can talk to them about what's going to help them age gracefully.
Yeah, we can help them better. Mm-hmm. And the future of medicine is not just labeling things and finding something wrong, but preventing things from happening. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
We look forward to listening to your talk.
Thank you.